That's just a snapshot of their lives in Oman. And it's always good for us to remember to pray for them. And, you know, they, particularly all that's going on in the world right now, they are really in a place where there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of nervousness. And I'm sure their families as well are nervous and tense. So please be praying for their families back home in Pennsylvania and Canada as well for them. But you saw there they put being the salt and the light, and that's the message that I have this morning. So we've looked at the four pillars, and we're on the third pillar this week. So the first week we looked at worship, and worship being one of the foundational pillars of the church. We're going through the series on what is the church. And so the first pillar was worship. And we noticed that through the picture that Joyce drew, I don't know if we can get them on the screen. I know I'm jumping around, guys. That's mission. It's kind of two slides down. Another one. There you go. As you can see, worship goes around the church and up. It emanates from the church and goes up, but worship's a two-way conversation with God. We only worship Him with what He gives us first to be able to worship Him. And then the second pillar we looked at last week was the Word. And it feels like yesterday, this week's gone by so quickly, was the Word. And the Word of God. And we focused on the importance of the Word of God, how crucial it is to us. And you can see from the picture as well, the Word goes out, but it first comes down from God. It is God's Word to us. And it is, as Joyce pointed out, it's very difficult to see, but one of those little strands actually ends right in the center of the church. The Word of God is central to who we are as a church. And so it's important for us. But today I want to look at the third pillar, namely evangelism or mission. Our third pillar is mission. Next week, we'll focus on compassion. Mission and compassion go very closely together. Compassion without mission is just good things. But the two need to go together. So we'll focus on that next week, and I won't jump ahead of myself. But today, I want to focus on the mission, evangelism. And it's so good we have one of our visiting missionaries from this past summer here as well. So, the Lord is, He always orchestrates these things so wonderfully. But let's read together Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, as our scripture this morning. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. If you can turn in your scriptures to that and your Bibles to that. Matthew 5, verse 13. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let us pray together. Lord, as we turn to your word now, I pray that you would truly speak to us, that you would encounter us here this morning. Lord, that this wouldn't just be a dialogue, a discussion of man's thoughts, but Lord, that you would truly speak to us. As we focus on your word, reveal that word to us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, we had a small team that went out sharing the gospel in the community. Actually, they went, because it was so cold, they went to Ward Parkway Mall and went around the mall sharing the gospel. And it was wonderful. I was speaking to Jacob this morning and getting some of the feedback. Unfortunately, I was supposed to go on that team, but I couldn't make it. But I got some feedback from them as to the people they encountered. And one of the things that he shared, and we've always said this, the majority of the people were appreciative. The majority of the people were open. There was one person out of all the people I encountered yesterday that said, "I'm not interested, get away from me." That was one person out of all the people that they encountered. And that's the case all around the world. There's a desperate need for the gospel message to be proclaimed. There's a desperate need in the world for some hope, for some truth, the truth that Jesus Christ provides. So as we look at this, it's truly an outward function of the church, as the picture depicts. Evangelism or mission is outward focused of the church. It goes out into the neighborhoods, into the highways, the byways of life. And Jesus here was teaching a small group of his disciples. We know this is the Sermon on the Mount, but he actually took aside his disciples. As you see in verse 1, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He went aside with a smaller group and he really started giving them some very, very detailed descriptions, teachings that he wanted them to impart to others. So this was really his download of information to them. It was vital for them and for the ministry that they were going to undertake. And what he was saying was that you are the salt, you are the light. Not maybe one day you will be. No, you are. That is your role. It is your mission. And for us, the same at the church, it is our role. It is our mission. It is not something that is negotiable, not something that is optional. We are that. How we reflect that is up to us. And as Jesus teaches, as I said, he makes two statements in verse 13, you're the salt of the earth, and then verse 14, you're the light of the world. And there's a difference there between the earth and the world, and we'll get back into that in a little while. But you know, you've heard me preach on many occasions and where I've called and said, Christians, we're supposed to be witnesses in the world. And I often say, you know, there is something about the necessity for a verbal declaration of the gospel. It's not just I'm going to be a witness through my life. It is a verbal declaration of the gospel. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. If that doesn't get you going on a cold morning, nothing will. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We get to declare the glory of God. Get to declare praises of him. Today we're going to be meeting after the service. We're going to have a short meal. And if you're a visitor here, you're welcome to join us. And we'll share a meal together. Then we're going to look back at the past year. We're going to look ahead to what the Lord has in store for us and really dream a little bit. Pray and see, well, Lord, what do you have for us in 2016 and beyond? And as we do that, you know, we're going to look and see, well, we've seen some growth. We've seen some exciting things happening in the church. Some new programs started. We've seen some young families come and join the church. We've seen life. We've seen an increase in the children's program. And that's been exciting to see. It's been wonderful. And, you know, so we say, well, what is the method? What is the method for building the church? What is the method that we have to grow the church? And, you know, you can go to Mardell's and buy 10 books on church growth methodology. You know, you can get all the programs and all the and you need lasers and smoke machines to really grow the church, you know. No, the truth is the proven, faultless way of growing the church is sharing the gospel. The only way we grow is if we go. In order to grow, we have to go. We have to get outside the four walls of the church and tell people about Jesus. And then they'll say, I want what you've got. Show me. Tell me more. And they come and become part of the family that is here at Grace Point and any family that truly preaches the gospel. The going is evangelism. Evangelism, proclaiming the gospel message. So we say that a lot. You know, we say the gospel message. We talk about the gospel, but what is the gospel message? What is this message that we proclaim? Do we know it? Do we know it clearly? Can we articulate it? Because we have to know it for it to be part of our lives. The gospel literally means good news. It's good news, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I want to go through it quickly and just give you a bullet point of the gospel message. It all started with God. It started with God. And then God created the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And he created man in his own image. And he put him in a garden and he gave him certain boundaries, but he said, it's yours. And God gave man a lot of freedom, but he gave him one rule and man disobeyed that rule. Satan came and tempted Eve, and we know what happened. Adam and Eve sinned. As a result, sin entered into the world. And since that day, every man and woman, everyone born, has been sinful. There's a sinful nature to mankind. And man has been suffering ever since. Romans 3:23, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we have a problem. Sin is the problem. We are separated from God. There's a deep chasm between us and God that cannot be crossed from our end. We cannot cross that. What we need is a Savior. We need a way to cross that. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. What was needed was a sacrifice to restore the relationship with God, to restore our relationship with God. And Jesus Christ came, he was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless life, a perfect life. And we're going to get to celebrate that in the next month. You're probably seeing decorations up already. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was God. He was not just a man. He was God and man. Fully God, fully man. He lived a perfect sinless life. And then he was crucified. He died the most painful, excruciating death imaginable. But not just a painful death. He also took on the sins of man as God turned his back on Jesus and put on him the wrath of all the sins of mankind. But on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. He lives forever. Jesus walked the earth for 40 days, teaching and proclaiming the message of the gospel, telling other people about it, training up people. At one time, he spoke to 500 people. And then on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. This Jesus lives forever, and he intercedes for us. He is our advocate with the Father. All we have to do is receive this free gift. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We know that. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible says there's no other way. There's no other way to be reconciled with God. It is only by accepting the offer of salvation and making Jesus Lord of your life that you can have peace with God, that this relationship can be restored. And the offer of salvation is not earned. It's not something that you can work your way up to. It is a free gift from God. It is the grace of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We can be assured that one day we'll spend eternity with our Savior and Lord in heaven, forever, eternity, as a result of accepting this gift, this free gift of the grace of God. That's the gospel message. I just told you the gospel message in 5 minutes. It's easy to articulate. It's not complicated. We've heard it. We've heard all the pieces put together. But that is the gospel. It is the good news. That is the reason why we exist as a church. If it wasn't for the gospel, we'd have nothing. We would just be a club of people getting together and trying to figure out life like every other group that has no hope. Our hope is in the gospel message. But I want to get back to those two statements that Jesus made in Matthew 5. "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." Notice again, you are. It's not something one day you'll be good enough to be salt. One day you might be good enough to be light. No, you are. When you became a Christian, you received the Holy Spirit. God resides with you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the salt of the earth. You, as a believer, have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And in Acts 1:8, we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus saying here in Acts 1:8, you will be empowered. You will have the power to share the gospel. Evangelism is not something we can do in our own strength. And I'll tell you about, we'll go into more details about that a little bit later. But we have the power, if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, to share the gospel. And what Jesus is saying here essentially is that salt and light have the same function in the context that Jesus is talking about. Obviously, salt and light are completely different things, but they're an influencer. But their influence is bothly for good, but their area of influence is different. Notice Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth and light of the world. There's a difference. Salt is something that we use to create flavor, give flavor to something. It is also a preservative. It has other uses as well. But for salt to be effective, it's got to be put into the stew. It's got to be put into the mix. It's got to be mixed in. You remember I preached on this back in January, and I had a pot, and I had the salt next to the pot. Remember that? And, well, it's no good if it's next to it. Salt has to be in the mix to have influence. Salt of the earth means that you have to be in the mix to be an influence. So we can't say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm just going to go and sit on a hill and separate myself from all these heathen who don't know Jesus. I hope one day someone tells them about Jesus, but I'm going to just separate myself from them. No, we're meant to be in the mix. We're meant to be involved in the world. We're meant to be encouraging people. We're meant to be living life, trading. We're meant to be working. We're meant to be influencing people as we go. And then that salt affects. It brings flavor. It changes things. There's an influence that salt has that works internally. And so Christians are meant to live in the world, to influence the world for righteousness. Salt also promotes thirst. You eat a lot of salt, you get thirsty. Salt promotes thirst. Well, we as Christians, if we're living in the world for Jesus and we are being salt and light, people would look at us and say, I want what you have. There's something about you. I'm thirsting for that. I'm looking for something, and you've got something that I want. Help me to know what that is. And you'll have the opportunity to share the gospel. Do people look at your life and say, what have you got that's different? Do they look at your life and say, I want what you have? Then we have the metaphor of light. And Jesus, you know, said that you are the light of the world. Well, light is brings radiance. Light is actually an energy source. It is not just, you know, we tend to look at the spotlight and say, that is light. No, it produces light, but light is what we see around us. Light radiates. Light is an energy source. But light also, I mean, light is energy. But it operates from the outside, and it beams out. Like, we are on a hill here. If we have a star up on the hill that we put up last week, and the star emanates light. So everyone driving up the 435 can see the star on the hill. They can see the light. What does light do? Light exposes things. Light exposes sin. You turn the light on in our house and you'll see dust on the floor. So you turn it off again. It's not Debbie's fault, it's my fault. I'm going to get in trouble here. But when you turn on the light, you see things that you don't normally see. When you put a lot of spotlights on something, you can see things clearer than you normally would. Light exposes. So light exposes sin. And it's not going around and saying, well, you did this wrong. You did this. You're doing that wrong. Be the light. You are the light. And people will naturally realize their own sinfulness. Light also obliterates darkness. Light is a form of energy, and we see this all around us. Nature relies on sunlight Photosynthesis gives life to plants and vegetation. All of us exist because of light. There's so many aspects to the imagery of light. And, you know, I'd like you to read through this and just pray through it and meditate on Jesus as the light of the world. As he says in John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Are you a follower of Jesus? If you are, then you have the light of life. It's the light of life. Let that light shine. I think if you're looking for something to study, something to meditate on, look at the scriptures and see all the references to light. The Bible is full of it. Jesus constantly spoke about that. There's a story of a man who he was a signal operator for the railways, and there was a bridge out in a storm, and so they sent him down the tracks with a lantern. And they said, go and wave the lantern to stop the train coming. And he went down the tracks, waved his lantern. The train paid no attention, came flying through, and crashed off the bridge. And so obviously there was, I don't know if it was a passenger train or a freight train, but it was a court case. And this signal operator was brought to the judge and said, well, were you present at this day in the position you were told to be? And he said, yes, I was present, and I was exactly where I was told to be. And then the judge said, well, did you have your lantern with you? He said, yes, I had my lantern with me. And then the judge asked him another question, said, did you wave your lantern at the oncoming train? And he said, yes, I waved my lantern at the oncoming train. So the judge says, well, then you're not guilty of any misdeeds, and they let him go. And as this guy was walking home, he turned to his friend and said, I'm glad the judge didn't ask me if my lantern was on. And the truth is, for us, is our lantern on? Is our light on? Proverbs 4:18 to 19 says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Are you allowing the light of Jesus to shine through your life? You know, as children, we taught to sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I almost felt like singing that today, but we sing that as children. We know that, but do we allow the light of Jesus to shine through our lives? So what are we called to do? How do we do this? We're called to be witnesses. We're called to be a light and salt, sharing the gospel message, letting our lives shine. But if you're like me, you know, we like to measure things. We like to see, well, am I being effective in sharing the gospel? What is the results of me sharing the gospel? You know, am I seeing 10, 20, 15 people coming to know the Lord? What is the results? You know, we go out and share the gospel and we count the numbers of people that we met. And that's the way we gauge our effectiveness. Well, that's not a true sense of our effectiveness. Our responsibility is not to win souls. Our responsibility is not to save people. We cannot do that. Our responsibility is just to share the word, to proclaim the gospel message. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convert people, to bring about a conviction of sin. That's not our responsibility. The Holy Spirit does that. So we need to be clear in our gospel presentation. We need to be very clear in saying, this is the way that we know to be the truth. It is the way to eternal life. And we declare that convincingly, but we cannot persuade people to be Christians. We cannot debate someone to become a Christian. The Holy Spirit does that. It's said that sharing the gospel is like walking around in a lightning storm and handing out lightning rods. And just walking around handing out lightning rods. You never know when the lightning is going to strike, and you never know who it's going to strike. But you can see the effect of the lightning striking. And it's the same when you share the gospel. You never know who the Holy Spirit is going to convict, who the Holy Spirit is going to hit and touch with the gospel message, and they're going to be led to salvation. But you can see the result. You can see a life transformed. You can see a life changed. And that, my friends, is the greatest miracle we could ever witness. Seeing someone move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, there's just incredible joy in that. You know, I often heard, you hear me speaking about sharing the gospel message, proclaiming the gospel message, making a verbal statement of the gospel. And I know some of you are thinking about the quote that's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel and if necessary use words." We've all probably heard that. A lot of people have heard that. And I can appreciate what people are getting at, you know, saying, well, we need to be living Christian lives. We need to be living a testimony by our lives, doing good works and so on. And hopefully the gospel message gets through in that. Well, there's two problems, though, with this quote by St. Francis of Assisi. The first problem is he didn't say it. It was attributed to him, but no one in history has actually been able to attribute it to him historically. He never said it. And then the second thing is it's not biblical. It's not biblical. The fact is that we are told to go and tell. The Bible says, use words. Go out and tell the gospel message. The joy, the message that you have brings life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Paul quoting Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. And then he goes on to say, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The gospel. When you hear good news, you hear the gospel. You know, and when you read this, don't just think, well, that's the preacher's job, you know, because without them, someone preaching, they would not hear. No, when it comes to declaring the gospel, we're all preachers. We all have the responsibility. We all have the ability because we all have the truth. The truth is that sharing the gospel is actually a discipline, though. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's not something that's easy. There's few people that are truly gifted with the gift of evangelism, which is a separate thing, which is evangelists that go to large events. But evangelism, we're all responsible for, but it is a discipline. It's the same reason we don't share the gospel is the same reason why we don't eat right or exercise enough or get enough sleep. It's just a discipline. It's prioritizing it. It's making it a priority in our lives. And the interesting thing is, you know, we would one day stand before Jesus and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And you're going to say, well, I wanted to share the gospel more, but I was too busy. I had too much going on in my life. I had too many things. My hobbies were just, yeah, they consumed me. It's a priority. Make it a priority in your life. And I have to do that the same. You know, people think, well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to say that. And, well, you're a natural evangelist, and you enjoy this. I have to make it a priority in my life. I have to force myself to carve out some time to go out and share the gospel with people. Because we have to be intentional about it. If we're not intentional, we don't see the fruit. And the danger that I have and people in the ministry have is we can surround ourselves by Christians all the time. And so we're just surrounded by Christians, whether we're, you know, whether it's at YWAM or other ministries or in the church, every day all we're doing is talking to Christians. And so we don't get the opportunity to share the gospel, to be the salt and the light. Remember, to be the salt, you have to be in the mix. You have to be in the world, influencing the world, making a difference where you are. We also have to realize, though, that Satan and his demons will do anything to stop you sharing the gospel. It is their number one priority to make sure the gospel message does not go out. They will do everything they can. So we need to understand that it is a spiritual warfare. There is warfare involved. So the weapons that we have are the Word of God and prayer. Without prayer, going out and sharing the gospel will be ineffective. We need to be praying all the time, praying without ceasing. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This area we live in, the harvest is plentiful. We've experienced it. Without fail, you'll go out and share the gospel for an hour and two or three people, either asking for more information, wanting to know more about Jesus, or they say yes to Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The harvest is plentiful. It really is a good time to be sharing the gospel. So it's clear that evangelism or mission is a foundational pillar of the church. It is clear that that's what it is. And I didn't want to preach here today and share this message with you to make you feel guilty, to make you feel, well, I'm doing a terrible job. And, you know, this is not meant to be a guilt trip. This is meant to be an encouragement to say, man, you don't know what you're missing. You get to share the greatest news that's ever been told and get to see lives transformed. You get to be salt and light. It's one of the greatest joys in life. So I want to encourage you today as we close just to make your life count for eternity. Make your life count for eternity. Share this wonderful message. But the one key thing is you cannot share what you do not own. This message has to be a part of your life for you to share it with others. And you may have been sitting in church for 10, 15, 20 years, maybe 1 year. Maybe this is your first time in church. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have nothing to share. This gospel message has to be part of your life for you to share it with others. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not part of your story, I want to pray for you. I encourage you today to make this the day of your salvation. I want to encourage you to come forward, and we'll pray after the service or during the singing of our final hymn. Do not let this day go by. You get to be a part of this story, the gospel story. So as we sing now our final hymn, we're going to gather around the Lord's table and share the Lord's Supper. And this is a table that's open for all those who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I encourage you, as we sing, to come forward if you would like prayer. But otherwise, we're going to gather around this table, remembering the greatest story that's ever been told, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us, and the fact that He purchased our salvation on that day. So let's sing together as we close. If the deacons would join me up here. As I said, this table, we get to celebrate, we get to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross that 2,000 years ago. And He said, continue to do this until He comes. And it is just the most appropriate reminder, and it is amazing how impactful this is. And we tend to just come and go. Every month when we share the Lord's Supper, it can be so easy for us just to go through the routine. This is not a routine. This is the foundation of who we are as Christians. And so as we enter into this time, I want to encourage you just to spend a short time in silent prayer, just asking the Lord to search your heart, asking if there's anything that you need to repent of, any sins that are hindering your relationship with the Lord right now. Maybe there's a relationship between you and someone else that needs to be restored here. Let's just spend a few moments in quiet prayer, asking the Lord to cleanse us, to wash us, to refresh us and renew us by His blood before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with the pure water. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us drink together. Oh Lord, we thank you for this gift, the gift of salvation, the gift that is so free and so gracious. And we worship you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded of your sacrifice, but we can also be reminded of the fact that you have purchased our salvation. And we thank you this morning as we remember this afresh. And Lord, as we go out, I pray that you would constantly remind us as we go about our work week, as we go about our day-to-day lives, that we are the salt and the light. You have given us a great gift, and your Holy Spirit is within us. Let us be that salt and the light in our area of influence, in our workplaces, in our places of study, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods, to the glory of God, for your kingdom, Lord. It's not about us. It's all for your glory. And so we praise you. We thank you for this time that we could share together this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for this week that's coming up where we have a special time of thanksgiving, because it is so special to be able to thank you for all of your many gifts and blessings to us. So we praise you now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Just a reminder, there will be a benevolence offering taken, and we're going to be moving over to the tables and sharing a meal together and having our annual meeting after that. But the ushers will be at the back, and this benevolence offering is to help those in our community, those who are less fortunate, those in need. And so please be able to, if you can, give to that benevolence offering. We're going to report later, but about 11 people and families have been helped this year through that benevolence offering. So please be able to do that, and we'll move over to the tables and enjoy a meal. And if you aren't able to stay with us, please come back and visit us again. And we're glad that you came. God bless you as you leave.